All right. So much for the icebreakers. What are you after, Freddy?
My client is prepared to settle for 50% of the marital assets.
Why only 50, Freddy? Why not 100? While we're dreaming, why not 150? Are you familiar with Kirshner?
Kirshner does not apply.
Bring this to trial. We'll see if Kirshner applies.
What's Kirshner?
Please, let me handle this.
Kirshner was in Kentucky.
Kirshner was in Kentucky?
Kirshner was in Kentucky.
All right, Freddy, forget Kirshner. What's your bottom line?
Primary residence, 30% of remaining assets.
What are you, nuts? Have you forgotten Kirshner? Freddy, it's a negotiation.
See you at the preliminary.
Freddy, we're all friends here. It's a negotiation. Hey, Freddy. Fine, we'll eat the pastry.
Down in the valley on the foggy hill rock stood a crazy little demon blowing his top. Fire in his eyes and smoke from his head. You gotta be real cool to hear the words he said. He did not.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas. What was that about
the pseudonym?
Exactly. That's exactly what it sounded like. Yes. I almost said it, and I was like, no, I've done that too many times. But
just trying to bait him. It didn't work. Although it kind of partially worked.
Is this
Spyro? Yes. Damien.
Anyways, this week, Douglas has asked us to talk about the 1989 Jim Jarmusch film, Mystery Train.
I saw on the television the other day where the Chinese over there in China, they all want to eat macaroni and cheese. And don't you think that kind of odd, what with all the Chinese food they got?
Room 25 for the lovely ladies.
Well, it was right here in this very room where Mr. Fields recorded the likes of Howlin' Wolf, Rufus Thomas, Carl Perkins, Roy Orbison, Jerry Lee Lewis, and of course...
So Douglas, you're once again taking us into the world of Jarmusch.
Yes, I am.
Lead us into this
a
world.
A world that I must say I feel that I need to be a bigger part of. So this movie, it's pretty unique. It's actually three separate stories, so it's split in vignette style. Three separate stories, three separate groups of characters, but all kind of focused on the same place, which is Memphis, Tennessee. And it's really cool how he doesn't try too hard to intertwine the stories. I love how these guys are looking at me like, wait, but he did. This doesn't become this big sort of huge intertwined relationship bullshit that, like, say, a Haggis did with Crash, right? They do kind of lightly rub against each other, but almost coincidentally so. So you have three stories. One, the first is a Japanese couple, or I'm assuming, I think they're Japanese, right? No? I don't know.
Yes, they're Japanese.
I have no clue.
They came from Yokohama, which is in Japan.
I don't remember things, right? So, there's a Japanese couple.
I think it even said Far From Japan as the title of that one.
Oh, okay. The longer away, the farther away from me watching the movie.
So many.
But anyway, this Japanese couple comes to Memphis specifically for the music aspect of it. They're deep into, some sort of like blues music. So it's funny. There's this kind of constant, well, joke for me and Andrew, but constant argument between the two. Who's the best? Is it Elvis or is it Carl Perkins? Right? And even in the beginning, when you don't Carl understand Perkins. What they're doing, but they have this kind of they do this rock paper scissors thing, and the girl wins, and so she gets to put in her tape, and you hear Elvis play. And later on, you kind of get to understand that clearly that was their way of trying to figure out who gets played in the Walkman. Is it Elvis or is it Carl Perkins? Right? And I just think that's kind of cool because I guess that sort of thing resonates with me because I love music so much, and I would do that. I would go to a place, well, not a place the way they went to that place, which is, go going to this shitty hotel and whatever. But I would go to a place because I wanted to, you know, listen to music or see some sort of music-related thing. That is something that I'd definitely do. And so, you know...
Hippies.
And so that's
Coachella before we die.
Yes. Oh, I totally wanted to one of those.
Grow out your hair on Kenwood.
Well, I can't grow it out anymore. There's nothing to grow out at this point. Oh, there we go.
Add people.
Hold on. You can't do extensions because extensions need to latch on to something.
Douglas,
there's nothing to extend.
What about the surgery? For one single picture, I'm
you
willing
give me
to
hair plugs. I give me
hair
plugs.
Plug the
yes,
shit
yes.
out of your hair for the promise of Kenro.
You don't realize you could just Photoshop it,
Andrew. That look like a man with enough time to amuse myself with Photoshop. If I had that amount of time, I would be talking to you people.
Okay, let's get through this quick before the next joke happens. You've got another story with two girls that share an apartment and share a room, and one of them sees the ghost of Elvis Presley, and you
like that two broke girls.
Exactly, and you have another one with, you know, some robbers, some criminals who get into the shittiest of rooms and get into some trouble. And as I said, Jarmusch doesn't really try to force anything, so you know. You hear something like you hear a gunshot in all the stories and you find out where the gunshot comes from. Things like, you know, at the end of the movie, a couple of the people are on the same train going back. But nothing that feels forced. You know, nothing that feels too ostentatious, too look at me, I'm trying to make this work. And the stories, the way the stories are, it's very, very much like what I've come to kind of expect from Jarmusch, which is it's not necessarily focused on, you know, the classical sort of story, like, you know, something needs to happen, some conflict needs to be created, and so that the rest of the movie can be about the resolution. It's not that. It's just simply following along whoever's on screen, and, you know, if it is enjoying an interesting conversation or you know, understanding a little bit more about Carl Perkins because you went to the Sun Studio, you know, some things like that are really what you watch a movie like this for. Not oh, let's shoot people or let's you know, have some intrigue or anything like that. And I appreciate that. I know that that's not everybody's thing. And I just enjoyed watching this movie. I sat down and the whole way through was smiling for whatever reason. Whether the music was cool, whether I heard Tom Waits on the radio, whether he said funny things on the radio, whether I watched this movie only
jokes.
Because Tom Waits is in it, and whether and of course Andrew makes reference to probably the funniest part of this movie, which are the two Well, one's a bellboy, but the other guy is like the receptionist, or whatever.
Basically,
the guy at the front desk.
I don't know these hotel terms.
And that guy, I love him to death. He's this great musician. He's Screaming Jay Hawkins, and he has one of my favorite songs in the world called
don't
"Constipation
to
Blues," which Andrew hates. But it's really cool. It's really funny. But whatever.
All it is noises of constipation.
It is not
over music.
It is not.
That's all it is for 5 minutes.
Maybe it is, but it's so enjoyable.
You think I'm going to take music advice from this dirty hippie beside me? Have you lost your mind?
By the way, I expect that song to be on this podcast.
expect a win.
I will make sure.
I'll use the although. Screaming Jay Hawkins song.
Oh, which one? The one
I put a spell on.
He did the original. He wrote and sung the original to that song.
Screaming,
oh, you do? Okay, sorry. Not everybody does.
You.
I'm just saying.
I know it is because he's black.
Whoa,
real racist.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's real, but that is the only reason I know who he is. It is literally the only reason.
But that was a great joke, and it kept coming up time and time again. You know, things like the bellhop. I'm taking the fly swatter and swatting the bug that really wasn't a bug. and just other small moments. And that's what this movie really is about. It's about just enjoying the small moments that pop up from time to time. And that's something that I've learned as I get a little bit older. I really appreciate it.
I agree 1,000% with you. I actually really enjoyed this movie. If you forced me,
yeah.
I would have to rank my love of the stories in this movie from Japan Story to Girl's Story.
Wait, Japan to which one?
To Girl's Story.
In the order that it came.
Let me explain why. One of the reasons why I enjoyed this kind of mode of storytelling so much with this movie is that it does something which I like seeing, and it's the idea of, you talked about it being just enjoying the small moments. I see it as someone who feels the need for a third act doesn't happen.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when you're watching the movie, when you're watching this Japan story, it feels like it comes to a head where there would be Damon's pulling up his sleeves. He's like, I'm getting ready for battle here versus the Robinson brothers and their bullshit jargon talk. Damon, were you hoping I would be there to help out? When it comes to a head at the end of that story of the Japanese story, you could imagine, for example, them going to Graceland,
yeah.
which you never really get to see.
Yeah.
Well, you could imagine the version of that story, which is in a regular movie, where, as you said, conflict needs to come about. And the third act is always about resolving conflict. But all of their conflicts are resolved so easily between a rock, paper, scissors fight.
Yeah.
Or just simply, they have a dumb argument where they will keep going at it, Elvis or Carl Perkins. And they will just keep going at it until eventually one wears the other one out. And stuff like that. To the next story, which starts out with this mythological tale of people finding the ghost of Elvis.
Yeah.
And then it comes to its own little head, where you could imagine a continuation of that story, but we never really get to see it. My problem with this movie, well, I shouldn't really say problem, because I still kind of enjoyed it, but it was a little bit like I didn't quite love it as much as the rest of the movie,
mm-hmm.
came in the third part of the story, in the final tale. As you mentioned, you hear a gunshot throughout the first two parts, and it's one of the few things within this movie which unifies all of the stories.
Yeah.
Right? And you get to find out the story of that gunshot in the final tale. And I almost feel cheated that he felt that he had to tell me about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the same way that I would have felt cheated if he would have found some way to make the Japanese chapter into a regular movie and had some form of an ending which involved, I don't know, the two of them separating in the next town for some reason or another out of some bullshit. Where I didn't need that. I was happy. I was happy having this almost mood short story told to me and just fine with it. As opposed to him feeling he needs to flesh out the world and make me understand this other element that was just on the side, which was just making it more interesting. So yeah, I like this movie a lot. Like, it almost makes me want to think about watching Jarmusch movies. And then I remember all the horrible ones I've seen before.
Well, how many have you seen?
I have seen Coffee and Cigarettes, which
yeah.
I sort of like pieces of. Because it's
yeah.
it's a
Coffee
piece
and Cigarettes
story.
Is like this movie.
Right. But
yeah.
this one worked a lot better.
Yeah, this one, because I think the stories were longer form,
mm-hmm.
so that kind of, you get into something and you stick
yeah.
with it for a while, and I think that probably helps.
I like The Only Lovers Left Alive, you know that.
Oh yeah, of course, that's fantastic.
I loathe with a passion Dead Man.
I haven't watched that one yet.
I loathe with a passion, what the fuck is that movie?
The other one that I made you guys watch?
Down by Law.
I kind of don't like Broken Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
It's alright sometimes. It's not, that's most of it. I don't know. Have I seen any other Jarmusch movies? I don't think so. I can't remember. No, because I haven't watched Limits of Control.
Oh, yes. I watched that movie. And I want to rewatch it because, as I said to you the other day when we were talking about this, I watched it pretty early on in this podcast.
And I've
life.
Seen bits of Ghost Dog, and I don't like that. That's all.
Oh, yeah, people have always said that. That's,
you don't like Parasitical Summer
Resorts? Or take it movie.
I'm not black, I don't have to like it.
Fair enough.
But, but yeah, I've. I don't know where I'm going with this. I can't do two things at the same time. I'm typing on my phone and talking. It doesn't work.
So, Damien.
Mm-hmm.
You have readied yourself for battle.
Yep. I've given several presentations this week, and so I will employ the same tactics with this movie. With every good presentation, you start out with an opener. 9,500,000 and 400. That is the amount of frames that I had to sit through.
I thought you were going to say that was the amount of fucks
movie.
You gave.
The movie spanned...
It was almost 12.
396 seconds. 96,000 seconds. Right? 110 minutes. 1 hour and 50 minutes. Of crushing. And boredom. And crushing boredom. Okay, so that is my opener. Now I'll move on to my thesis. Jim Jarmusch sucks. It's my thesis.
Even after Down by Law?
And I will move into justifying my thesis. Starting off with an introduction. In the beginning, there was Down by Law. And I thought it was good. Moving on to the problem. The problem is Jim Jarmusch doesn't know how to tell goddamn stories. This movie is not entertaining. It is three disparate stories tied together by something that only seems quirky because you're so bored. Two men sitting at a hotel being idiots.
Was it that it hurt you because it was too close to your work?
No, it hurt me because I was so bored. How many times can I vow to stab Douglas in the neck while watching a movie? Turns out, about 20,000. Just sitting there going, what is happening? Alright, fine, you won't tell me what. Why is it happening? You won't tell me that, I don't know. Who are these people? Still no answers. And you go, alright, we're moving on to this other story. And again and again. Three short stories, not so much. One is 40 minutes, the other one is about 50 minutes. And the last one with gunfire is about 20 minutes.
No fire swords.
They put Steve Buscemi in there to kind of trick me. Like, oh, I know him. No, this movie is still terrible. As these two have said, the movie starts nowhere and ends nowhere. It is Elvis loosely ties all of these three shitty stories together. That and a gunshot. Ties the story together. It is not good.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
On a scale of zero to
Prometheus,
Jim Jarmusch. Mm-hmm. Right? If not Down by Law, if Mr. Train was a Jim Jarmusch,
mm-hmm.
does like Someone in Love surpass Jim Jarmusch in your boredom, or does it beneath Jim Jarmusch?
What's that, Someone in Love? It surpasses Jim Jarmusch.
Okay.
So guess what, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I have no phone.
Yes.
The director I will just be focusing on throughout
mm-hmm.
this podcast
right.
here. Every time it's my pick, it will be another Jim Jarmusch movie. Just throwing that out there.
Just so you know, I have these newfound allergies. If you take, I'm allergic to jar mushrooms.
How about coppolas?
Somehow, it only kind of makes me sick for a week.
How about coppolas?
I like the good one. And then
the younger ones.
And then there's
the
two shitty
ones.
Coppolas that came after him.
There are like five of them, which I don't know, just doing movies.
God damn it. Are any of them good?
No Soko movies for you.
Are any of them good? Answer the question.
Sofia Coppola is awesome. I like Gia Coppola's new movie, Palo Alto.
Wasn't he the one that did Tetro?
No. Tetro is actually Frank.
Oh, alright, never mind.
Yeah.
Yep,
I think it was helped written by Gio.
Oh, so, maybe.
Yep. Alright, they can.
Tetro isn't good? I like Tetro.
I thought Tetro was supposed to be good. I never watched
Dog.
It.
Dog!
He would like. I guess you'd like it.
Well, I don't know. Like, because I've never seen it.
Do you like pretentious nonsense masquerading as a movie? Sofia Coppola movies?
You then know I love
feel
that.
Free to watch Tetro.
I think you said around 10 different words, which are like the check boxes I think of when I want to watch a movie.
Fuck. this movie just, like, it's not. There's nothing. There's nothing for me to grab onto. The stories are bland at best. There are movies that speak about nothing and go nowhere that I enjoy. This is certainly not one of them. There's just nothing there. You talk about the music. Of course, you like the music. You're weird. You're goddamn hippie. You though. What on earth? No, you didn't even tell us what you like. I agree with Douglas. Except for the parts where I don't. But I still like this, I guess. Just fuck this movie. This is my review. In conclusion.
Because we have to stick to format, right?
Right, we have to stick to format. Having seen, I think, three of his movies now.
Oh, it's just three you've seen?
Aww. He's one of three.
Alright, honestly, honestly, watch Only Lovers Left Alive when it's available.
No, I want to watch that so much.
Because that movie,
that is so on him.
Yeah, yeah, I see a story there.
Yeah.
Like a real one. That humans tell.
Yeah, that's the type of drama show you definitely
You see,
like.
On a side note, I want to make Douglas watch Dead Man.
Oh no,
because
I definitely want to watch
it.
If
he likes that one,
then we know there's a something
problem.
Wrong. We've known something was wrong with this one for a while. Don't watch this, guys. I know it's already Tomp approved. It's 2 out of 3 or some such shitty rule.
it's great when it works in
garbage,
your favor. But when it's
percentages,
not in your favor, huh?
I don't know when this turned into a democracy.
But remember, it's not Tomp certified, it's only approved.
Yes. It will never get Tomp certificate. Never! You'll never have it to put on your re-release box. Tomp uncertified.
I went into
bitch.
The Tomp certified spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, there were some where I put a Y because I wanted it certified.
Mm-hmm.
There's some where I didn't put a Y because I didn't want them certified.
And there's one where I put that active
There's
N.
one where I actively said, Andrew, you are not allowed to do this. And I put an end there. No.
What is that movie?
I can't remember.
I have to go into the next section.
If it is flying a tree to space, I'm going to kick him.
No, it's not. It's not.
Goddamn right, it's not. Because that movie's great.
It's the question, boy. It's the question. It's the question. Come on. The question. It's the question, boy. It's the question. It's the question. Yeah. The question. It's the question, boy. It's the question.
So moving on, since that movie's approved, it always hurts the one who doesn't approve it. Who doesn't give it that certification.
Stupid fucking movie.
Hear
Jim Jarmusch now. So bad that movie is.
That's how you should feel.
Reversing my decision on Down by Law.
I hope that stays there forever.
A bad
questions.
What's the matter?
He still doesn't like that question.
I just love these transitions. They're so good. Just anyway on questions. Out of the blue.
But I just want to point out that I won this week's question. Just to
So this week's question, I was thinking
Should
about with Nymphomaniac, and the song that comes into that movie entitled Nymphomaniac. I was curious about people's favorite original songs for movies, and preferably non-musical movies.
This is the easiest thing about. I was going to say it last week.
What?
Cisco already did the best song of all time.
Wild West. Going straight to.
Yep. The Wild Wild West. It's the best song of all time.
Douglas, you know what mine is. So the Wild internet Wild responded, and weirdly enough, there weren't that many responses.
Wild Wild West is one. Everybody knew.
From Douglas, he decided to respond.
I posted with, the link.
He decided to respond page. With the song Rawhide from the Blues Brothers. Because he's decided to come out and apologize to me for his hatred of that movie.
So
for
Douglas responded with the Angry Inch from Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Alright.
I've got an angry shocking, inch, says Hedwig.
Shocking turn of events.
I remember when we made Damon watch that
movie. Yeah, thanks.
I remember that.
Thanks for that.
I love that movie.
Damon's life is a little bit brighter
than to go. Oh, this is a goddamn musical. Oh, it is? I don't want to watch this.
I should make us watch a musical sometime soon. I haven't done that in a while.
I also have musicalitis.
What, you break out into song randomly?
Nope. Break out into sleeping at my yard randomly, especially when we have one to review. So tired.
Movie Bungalow, at Movie Bungalow,
doesn't cough when you're tired.
Brought up Lulu's To Serve with Love from the 1967 movie. But my favorite response comes from Peter Labuzzo, from the Cinephiliacs, who brings up a song which I adore from a movie I didn't quite love that much. But the song is amazing, and it's The Long Goodbye, which appears in The Long Goodbye in many variations.
You're all still wrong.
By the way, the realize Rawhide wouldn't
I know. I just thought it'd be funny to talk about the Beatles, even though I realized it wouldn't fit, because all of the songs are...
Yeah,
the real serious answer is Bjork, I've seen it all from that movie.
From the Lars von Trier movie.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched
Dancer
that one.
Dancer in the Dark. Though. It's the best song she's ever done. And
seriously?
She's done some crazy songs. Far and away, her best song.
Do you like Bjork generally, by the way? You, hold on.
Yes.
So you like Bjork, but you don't like half of the shit that you've been listening to?
Exactly.
Damien,
it's really
weird.
You know
how ridiculously insane Bjork is?
I am
like,
well
aware. Times, there are times when Bjork,
she's a lunatic.
Bjork comes up on my phone, and while there's a point, there was a point in my life where I just absolutely adored her. There are times when I'm in my car or whatever I'm doing, and a Bjork song comes up, and I'm like, I can't deal with that today.
Douglas,
and I have to move
song,
on to the next song.
She has an entire song where she sings like there's a countdown. She's singing from 100 to from 1 to 100. That's the entirety of the song. She's a lunatic.
I don't know that much Bjork,
but amidst the lunacy, there are some songs there that are truly, truly brilliant.
Yeah.
And I listen to those and pretend that others didn't happen. I've been doing it for years. There's people that I like that I think I have three songs that I like. I like this person. Just three songs from 14 albums.
So this last week, Douglas and I sat down and we saw Enemy, the latest film with Jake Gyllenhaal by, I don't want to pronounce the director's name because I'm sure I'll get it wrong.
Villeneuve, right?
I don't know. And I wanted to ask people about films specifically that you feel you don't quite understand when you're watching them, but somehow when you're done, you end up loving it regardless. So what are some films that kind of fall into that category for you? Damien?
What? No, it's the one I've talked about way too much on this show. The one that I should stop watching.
Yeah.
And I cannot bring
Double
myself.
Life?
Yeah.
You know, I still haven't watched that movie.
Wait, what? You didn't watch it when we
I
did
didn't
the
watch
podcast?
It that time.
I did not.
Oh,
that was one of the. That's one of the few ones where I just didn't watch that film.
Like
I was
a bad person.
I came
to
prepared that day.
To a lesser extent, the Color Trilogy. But I like Blue. I like that as a legitimate movie.
Mm-hmm.
Red and White.
And of course, we're still talking about the same director.
Yes.
Kieslowski.
Yep. He is the devil, and he's a zombie. I can't stop watching his movies.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Really, it does annoy me, though.
Yeah,
that's why I stopped talking about Stand Apart. Because whenever I talk, I sound like a crazy person when I talk about them.
You're like, I don't know, but I keep pressing play.
There's times I watch the movies and I hate them. Mm-hmm. And I hate myself for watching them. Then I sit and think about the movies. Like, what is up? But if I watch a movie that many times, I must like it on some level. So.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's a bunch of movies I could put in this category, but especially because it's the last one, it's the most recent one, I'm going to go with Enemy that we saw the other day. Andrew, and as I said to you when we were watching it, this is one of those movies, or there are movies where you watch it the whole way through and you don't get a joke, or you don't get what's happening until the exact end. And whether you like it or you dislike the movie, you essentially are able now, you're fully equipped to rewatch it and know what to look for, so that you understand everything that's happening, and so that hopefully you either like it more or just, you know, get a better feel and see all the details in the movie. This is one of those where you feel like it should be that, but it's not. Because at the end of this movie, my jaw was all the way down onto the floor. I had no clue what was going on. I really want to watch it again to hopefully find out what's going on, but I have no clue. I have no point of reference, no explanation, so that I can then say, okay, this is what I'm looking for. So yeah, this is one of those movies where I'm just like, I'm just dumbfounded. But I love this movie.
My go-to movie for this kind of topic has always been Magnolia. Mm. 'Cause Damien rolls his eyes one more time. 'Cause Andrew keeps talking about horrible movies. 'Cause it's a movie where, like, I find myself just continually entranced by it as I'm watching it. Through all the dialogue and all of the fluidity that's in there with Paul Thomas Anderson. And then someone would ask me, like, what do you get from it? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know. Like, even, I even wrote about this. I ended up talking about this movie with Courtney Small from over at Cinema Axis, and he had an answer for that question. And I'm like, fuck, that makes sense. But still, if you ask me what I got from it, I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, I like Enemy. I think I do. It's an interesting
Aren't
movie.
Those the best movies where you're like, I think I like it?
No.
I don't know why, but...
No, those are not the best movies.
Those
what?
Are the best movies.
No.
And that's why
movies
I like...
Why you...
That's why I like weird movies. Because...
So
what,
much Douglas.
Whenever I get confused, whenever there's something that just eludes me, I'm like, I want that. You know? So, yeah. That's why I'm the way I am, I guess.
I like movies. Simple.
With fire swords.
Exactly.
With flaming swords.
If you want to be pretentious,
much kung fu.
You'd read books, right?
Right, right. If I wanted to be smart. Just like books. If I wanted a world to be created and vast oceans of knowledge. No. There's books for that. Now have come to the year,
number four?
To the time, to the place, the 2000s.
Okay, we're just going to keep going between.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
The 2010s.
Okay.
It's been 5 years, 2010 to 2014. So each year gets two questions. 2004 for life.
Okay. Wouldn't that be the 2010s?
What? Yes.
Oh.
What's that mean? Alright.
I think I need to retweet it too. Yeah.
For life. Alright, these are, at least, they should be significantly easier for you to pinpoint the year, but I'm not going to adjust the points. The hints are specific to the year, and they change. So it's not one steady thing. It's essentially Google searches, but there's a twist to them.
I go first.
Wow. Douglas, okay. You are in last place.
Yes, I am.
So you get to choose whether he goes first or not.
All right. Well, since Andrew went and just, you know, placed himself as first, I want to go first. That sounds very much
like congratulations. All right. These are your three movies. Take Two, Madagascar 4, Men in Black 3.
Okay, so I just want to know, make sure, because you like to play games with details, that you actually meant Take Two.
There's only
okay.
What else? Did you watch The Take Part 2? No, you didn't.
Maybe, I don't know. So what, Taken Part 2,
MIB 3, Madagascar 4.
Madagascar 4. Okay, and what's the hint? What are we playing hints with this week,
by the way? I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
This was Google's most trending thing in the world. This was the second most trending thing in the world. Gangnam Style.
Wow. Oh.
What year was this?
Men in Black 3.
It's not that long ago.
Retook 2. Retook her. And Madagascar 4.
Oh, I know why I'm getting confused.
Madagascar 4, there's been 4 of those.
I know why I'm getting confused. Because I still think of it as last year. But this year just started, so it's not really last year anymore. That's why I'm getting confused. This would be 2012.
Congratulations, now put them in order.
Remind me one more time.
We retook her again. The men were in black a third time. And our fourth trip to Madagascar.
Oh, these are all pretty shitty movies. So the first is Madagascar. Second, Men in Black. Third, Taken.
Douglas is correct. For the first time in history, Douglas has gotten maximum points.
Yes.
I don't like how this is starting at all. It was bad. Andrew Robinson. Douglas is in the lead.
No, he's not.
That's what the last was for. Transcendence.
2014.
The Legend of Hercules.
2014.
And I, Frankenstein.
2014.
Okay.
Why didn't you come up with like the indiest of indie movies? These are movies that are like on our list.
No shit.
For this year.
Transcendence, Legend of Hercules, and what was the other one?
And I, Frankenstein.
I, Frankenstein. I will go I, Frankenstein, Hercules, Transcendence.
And you are correct. No, I don't like this. They both got things right. Time to... Douglas Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Gangster Squad. Riddick. 47 Ronin.
Would that be 1950? No, it's 2013.
Okay.
One more time, Gangsta Squad.
Gangsta Squad, Riddick, 47 Ronin.
I know 47 Ronin made zero money because that was on my list. Then there's Riddick and Gangsta Squad. Gangsta Squad was a summer movie. Well, just before summer, I think. I don't remember, whatever. It had my boy in it. I'm gonna go with Riddick only gets made now because Vin Diesel likes it. So that didn't make any money. Okay, so I'm gonna go with Gangsta Squad, 47 Ronin, Riddick.
Incorrect, sir.
Yeah. 47 Gangsta Riddick.
Incorrect, sir.
Wow.
Gangsta Riddick. 47.
Wow.
Gangsta made 46.
How much did
Riddick
47
made
Ronin make?
42. And 47 Ronin made 38 million.
I swear 47 broke 100.
No, man.
No.
I actually thought it made like 40 something. No. So I was even wrong.
And these are domestic figures. So. on earth you saw. It must be high as shit. Question 4. Andrew Robinson.
Hello.
Sabotage. Brick mansions. Widow's Tale.
Give me the
14, bitch.
Huh?
14.
So in, you said in Sabotage, Brick Mansions, and Winter's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they mean you can't use this year because it's going to be too easy.
Brick Mansions came out like last week.
It's been out for a good long time in the States.
Sabotage, Brick Mansions, and Winter's Tale. So I'll go Sabotage, Brick Mansions, Winter's Tale.
Incorrect!
Remember which one, Sabotage?
Sabotage is Arnold Schwarzenegger's travesty. Brick Mansion is...
No, I don't want the other two.
Right. And,
okay, so I'm going to go with Sabotage, Winter's Tale, Brick Mansion.
Incorrect.
Really?
Winter's Tale made 12.6 million.
And no, Winter's Tale is not that.
Sabotage made 10.4 million.
Brick Mansions
made 9.6 million.
Wow. I actually looked up Brick Mansions just before we went to the podcast for the Fantasy League for some reason. So I knew that was...
But why would you care about that?
I remember I was thinking that it was
like... How much money Paul Walker could make?
No, it wasn't Paul Walker, but it was... I was looking at a movie that I considered similar to Brick Mansions.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Question number 5. Source code, The Adjustment Bureau, and Eyes of March.
Oh, sorry, this is me.
That is you.
Source code, Eyes
Adjustment
of March.
Adjustment Bureau and Eyes of March.
I think I know where this is.
Google's least trending topic.
Least trending topic? Why would I go with it?
Was
how
MySpace.
Does how does that help me?
I don't know.
How does that help anybody?
It is the
you
year...
Okay, alright, you know what?
It is the year MySpace disappeared.
Google's least trending was MySpace. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with 1985.
Well then.
Because like... That's not a hint. What is wrong with you?
The year MySpace disappeared.
Alright, I'm going to go with the guess that I was going to guess anyway, mm-hmm. which is 2011.
Okay, congrats.
There we go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what were the three movies again?
Source Code, The Adjustment Bureau, Eyes of March.
Source Code, Adjustment Bureau, Eyes of
Gyllenhaal
March.
Versus Brian Gosling.
Okay.
Versus...
Born.
I'm gonna go with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with Adjustment Bureau number 1. Source code number 2 and Eyes of March.
Douglas is correct again. This is a Christmas miracle.
This is what you've been talking about, you know, letting me feel all comfortable.
Yep.
And just striking.
Yep, and then striking you to death. Hold on. Where was I? No.
2004?
You go away. For life! My killers is with me. That was question 5, which means the next question should be question 6.
Are you sure?
Not sure.
Is that how math works?
The King's Speech. The Last Airbender. Fair enough. Google's least trending was swine flu, just so you know.
So the King's Speech,
The Last Airbender, and The Other Guys.
The Other Guys.
There are some guys.
The Other Guys, The King's Speech, Last Airbender.
Incorrect. Douglas Robinson.
Give me the 3 again.
King's Speech, Last Airbender, The Other Guys. Swine Flu.
Swine Flu is not a movie. Even though it could be contagious.
So The King's Speech, The Other Guys, and Last Airbender.
Those are the 3.
I love the look on his face.
But I'm pretty sure that Andrew just guessed the same thing that I'm about to guess.
Which is what?
Shh, I'm not going to tell him.
Which is what?
Yeah, attention.
I promise, I'll tell you if it was what I guessed.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be counted as my guess.
Yes,
right.
It would be.
It would not. No.
I mean, of course it would be. My rules.
All right, so the Other Guys, King's Speech, and
Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Okay, here's... I'm gonna go
mm-hmm.
with The Other Guys, Avatar, and... No. No. No.
That was just a tip, right?
No. I'm gonna go with...
Oh,
Jesus.
No, he's not in any of those movies.
He was in The Last Airbender.
How is he in The Last Airbender?
Okay.
He got 5 seconds, there are 4 feet.
Alright, I'm gonna put other guys on at the bottom just for shits and giggles. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put. What's the
King's Speech and The Last Airbender.
King's Speech and The Last Airbender. So. Oh my god. My head is just not.
4, 3, 2, 1.
King's Speech on top, followed by. Sorry, Avatar followed by King's Speech followed by the other guys.
You fucked up a while ago. If you had continued in where you were going with King's Speech first, you'd have gotten it. King's Speech did 135, The Last Airbender did 131, and the other guys did 119. Shit. Okay, this is now question 7.
I need to take into context the size of the movie. Because I remember everyone going, it was a flop. But a flop means less than budget, not...
Cloudy 2, G.I. Joe 2, Anchorman 2.
Oh.
That's him or me?
No, that's... Oh, that's me.
That's you.
Oh, 2013.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, which one's now Cloudy 2?
Cloudy 2, G.I. Joe 2, Anchorman 2. Google's most trending, Paul Walker.
Well, I would suppose so. Cloudy 2.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorman 2.
Mm-hmm.
G.I. Joe 2.
Mm-hmm. In that order?
No. No.
That's Douglas.
Cloudy, G.I. Joe, Anchorman. I would go with... G.I. Joe on top, Cloudy in the middle, and Anchorman on the bottom.
G.I. Joe, Anchorman. Wait, no. Anchorman, G.I. Joe, Cloudy.
So close.
Anchorman, 125. Cloudy.
Shit.
Wow.
The second, and G.I. Joe, third.
What was the numbers for those two?
119 and 122.
Shit, that's close.
Yes, it is. That's what I play. Question number 8. Who is that?
Me, I guess.
Twilight, Harry Potter 8, Inception. Google's most trending, the iPad.
Twilight, Harry Potter.
And Inception.
As in both of the Harry Potters together, or?
Harry Potter 8. Doesn't matter. All of them.
What was the subtitle?
8. 8 was the subtitle. The one before 9. Is the subtitle. Whatever it was, part 1.
Which Twilight was this?
Twilight Eclipse. That's Harry 3. Potter 8. And Inception.
So that's 2010.
Why did we have to go through all of that? You knew what year it was. I said Inception. Now put them in order.
You know, be great.
Harry Potter, Inception, Twilight.
Incorrect. Douglas.
Harry Potter, Twilight, and Inception. Oh my goodness. I will go with... Shit, with that... Oh, I wonder if that did that. I'm gonna go with Inception, Harry Potter, and Twilight.
Also incorrect. Twilight killed it, 300. Wow. Harry Potter 8 did 295.
I know there's no Inception beat Harry Potter.
Inception did 292.
You know what it is? I was just like, well,
$3 million.
Andrew did exactly what I would say. Mm-hmm. The only thing, because I was like, fuck Twilight.
Yeah.
The only thing that could happen is the top two switching. And maybe because Inception was like the biggest thing ever that year. So,
whose turn is it?
My turn.
2004 for life.
By the way, you know what you need to do?
What?
If you're really going to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. Because it seems you want to be an asshole with these hints, right? Mm-hmm. What you should do is you should say, like for the last one. The hint should have been that the most trending thing on Google was Inception. That should have been the hint.
Actually, like these hints, because they give you no clue.
Absolutely nothing, which means it's not a hint. It's useless.
It's my hint.
Anyway.
All right.
2004.
I'm going to start with the hint for life. Google's most trending was Rebecca Black. Do you know what year that was?
Yes.
It's the year that Cars 2, Kung Fu Panda 2, and MI4 came out.
MI4?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Robinson. Senior.
Junior. What year is when? I can't remember things.
It was 2 years ago.
No, I'm wondering if you're... Because that's what I was going with, but now I'm wondering if you're screwing with me.
MI4 was the first movie I watched at the IMAX in Trinidad.
Okay.
It was anyway, Christmas.
2012 is what... That's where I was going. Anyway, but yeah, 2012. No?
2011. Okay, Cars 2, Kung Fu Panda 2, Mission Impossible 4.
Thank you, Andrew. You're
the first person to get a year wrong. Douglas Robinson, congratulations.
Because now Andrew put them in order. With me.
That is you and Andrew.
I was thinking about it and you just saw
right, idiot.
I was in Trinidad from 2011 to 2013.
Andrew wants to win, you dumb dumb.
Fuck you.
Put them in order.
MI4 and what?
Car 2, Kung Fu Panda 2.
Kung Fu Panda Cars MI4.
Incorrecto.
MI4, Kung Fu Panda. And the last one was...
Cars. That's the other?
Yeah.
Nope. No, MI4, 209. Cars 2, 191. And KFP2 is 165.
Wait, here. But isn't that what I said?
No,
you said Kung Fu Panda first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, hold on.
You
say,
said Kung Fu Panda
first. Say what
first.
You said again.
He said MI4,
MI4
Cars 1. 2. Then
you said MI4 was 202 million.
209. Yeah. Cars then, 2 was 191. Making
oh,
it second.
Okay.
And Kung Fu
okay,
Panda.
Here's what happened, right? You said Cars 2, 19. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so I heard,
okay.
So Zach, but that's higher.
Fair enough. Too many numbers.
Yeah, okay.
Andrew Robinson.
I think this is 2012 for life.
Fair enough.
I could be wrong.
He did math. He's right. Google's most trending topic was Whitney Houston. She died.
Did she?
Yes, she did.
I thought it was a myth.
Yeah. I can't prove it. I don't know.
I haven't seen the papers yet.
It is Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher Road.
John Carter.
John Carter
Road. And Z-Looper.
Z-Looper Road. These are tough. These
mm-hmm.
are tough.
Looper, John Carter, and Jack Reacher.
I'm going to be dumb. Looper, Reacher, Carter. You got me. There we go.
You have little faith.
Carter was number one.
Uh-huh.
Second was... what are the other two again? Looper and what?
And Reacher.
Looper and Reacher. Second was Looper. Third was Reacher.
Poor Douglas.
Looper failed.
Jack Reacher, 80 million.
What?
John Carter, 73 million. Looper, 66 million. Humanity is doomed.
So I walked away with 0 points.
You actually got two. You got one question right. You got Hercules Transcendence and I Frankenstein right. Douglas, big win for Douglas. 4 points. 4-2. You guys are the worst. You got the first two questions right and proceeded to get one out of the remaining eight. Those are horrendous.
We try hard.
I know. Like, no, Andrew was like, what are you going to do when you get to the 2010s? Like, like we remember everything. 1 point. This is the year he did the worst. It's like, I'll know all of them. Like the ones for 2004, I'll know all of that. No.
So, is next week so, the future? Is that where we're going?
Don't tell me.
By the way, you know, is it weird that I think about this? So, next, in 5 years, it's going to be 2020,
mm-hmm.
right? Or, well, not five, but about that. And that will officially be the 20s,
mm-hmm.
which sounds weird to me because whenever I think of the 20s, I think
of
the 1920s, which is like so long ago.
And everyone had that same problem come 1920. When everyone had told them 20s was 1820.
They didn't have clocks back then, don't worry. Don't be silly. So as it stands now, Douglas making a big comeback has 8 points.
Woo-hoo.
Andrew has 12 points.
Yeah.
Cutting to his lead by
4
points. 2. Don't you? Thought you knew math.
No.
He got 4, you got 2. How did he cut it to your lead by 4?
Because I got 0 in my mind.
Let's just use that, man.
Yeah, all right, yeah, you know what? Or docking points for you, bitch. Shit, that man.
I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I love Paris in the winter when it drizzles. I love Paris in the summer when it sizzles.
I was just out for a walk. Yeah, I've decided I'm moving to Paris.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will love it.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. You know, I thought about you the other day. Because
really?
My boss got a whole new album of Cole Porter songs.
And that made you think about me. I like to be thought of that way. Yeah. You're on your way home right now?
Yes.
Can I walk with you, or I'll buy you a cup of coffee, or okay, now it's starting to rain.
Anyways, moving on into our top five this week. And Douglas, you gave us our top five. Tell us what our top five is this week.
I wanted us to talk about our top five location-based movies. Mm-hmm. So I didn't say anything other than that. So, you know, as always, take that and run with it, and let's hear your interpretation. I suppose since it's my list, I can go first.
Yep.
And the way I interpreted it,
yep,
what I wrote,
mm-hmm.
Ooh,
yep.
Was that, or the movies that I would look at were movies that when I thought of the movie immediately, I associated it with a location, with a specific
mm-hmm.
place, and.
Yeah, Cool Runnings and Jamaica.
Exactly not. So for instance, and I don't even know why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why, Damien, I would do this. But the first movie, actually, I'm going to call an audible and move this from... This was going to be number one, but I'll actually put it down to where it should be, which is about last. That movie is In Bruges. And... Whenever
right,
I think,
I don't want to do this list anymore.
Whenever,
shitty, shitty goddamn list. That
I mean, the name of the place is even in the movie. So Bruges is the place in Belgium, the town in Belgium where a weird, not too smart Irish guy, played by Colin Farrell, goes to think upon his sins, and while he's there, he gets to see midgets making films.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, making films.
And Lord Voldemort comes to pay a visit.
Exactly. This movie is great.
It's
so good. And I, as soon as it, you know, it, I kind of hate when I watch some of the people, like directors, talk about their movies, and then they kind of say, you know, I wanted to make X place, insert place name here, a character in
mm-hmm.
the film. I kind of hate that. And I even remember when I was watching this movie and then I saw the extras and he said that and I was like, fuck you. Because
yeah.
whatever.
He
but
did,
he really did
back.
In this movie. And there are actually movies where that happens and where the place that you're set, that you are, it takes on a whole life in and of itself. And this is one of those movies.
Sir Andrew Robinson.
Oh, my number five is The Trip.
Hmm.
Because if you haven't seen this film or TV series, depending on how much version
only
you decided
about
to watch.
Food.
What?
When I think about The Trip, I only think about food.
Mm-hmm. How about the English countryside?
It's no.
When you see those moments.
Not even a little bit.
No?
Think about them being jerks at food stops.
Really? Not even those moments where you see Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan.
No, I'm not saying it's not a good pick. That is not what I'm saying. I understand your pick 100%.
Michael Caine.
I'm just saying that when I think about that movie, I think about two jerks sitting across from each other, eating food and being jerks.
Mm. So yeah, The Trip.
I like that movie a lot. Or that miniseries turn movie or whatever it was.
I can't wait for the sequel.
Oh, wait, are you seriously taking your picks from that list that you sent us in the
Someone
movie?
Did.
Oh my god.
Amen.
My first pick is The Rock. when I think of Alcatraz.
You think of Sean Connery.
I think of Sean Connery.
And Nick Cage.
And then I think of Nick Cage being a scientist. A goddamn scientist.
Who loves needles?
Then I think of giant needles. And then heart. I think about someone being vaporized and blown out to sea. And I smile.
Yep.
And then I start crying because I'll never get a Bad Boys 3. And yeah, that's in that order.
So, I really like that you use the rock. Mm-hmm. Because I think that my next movie
Alcatraz is a place,
is
I'm sure of.
Very similar to your movie. I definitely think of the place in this movie just like the rock. It's a prison, right? And
this
my next movie is, I think, a Tom favorite. It goes by the name of Airborne.
Oh, hi.
And the place is Cincinnati, Ohio, where this surfer dude is essentially he's imprisoned in Cincinnati, Ohio, where he is big into surfing. He lives in California. He goes surfing every day. He just walks to the beach. Really rollerblades, actually, to the beach. And
in line skates.
Exactly. And then he gets sent, because, you know, his parents are off to Australia. He gets sent to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Can I add Australia to my list? Kill myself.
I think that might be what he's adding, or at least some Australia movie. But so, you know, and he, this place kind of forms the backdrop for the horribleness that this movie is, but also for the fact that he actually does. He feels imprisoned. He's like, you know, he brings his surfboard and he's like, fuck, what am I going to do in this place? This inland place where maybe there's a lake where, you know, the water is placid. You know, so, yeah, Airborne. Great movie.
You know, one day someone's going to take us at our word for that. Then they're going to fly here and kill
shit out of us. So, Andrew, what is your number four?
My number four, a slightly odd pick for this list, but nonetheless, I feel it works. And it's going to be one of my favorite movies from last year, and it is Gravity, because...
Yeah.
Space, guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Space is a place.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, all right, fine. I definitely take that liberty with a couple of my picks. So sure, go ahead.
And that movie, like, more than many other space movies, I feel kind of gave me the unsettling idea, which, I mean, isn't too hard to make unsettling in my mind, of being lost in space and being a small figure with nothing to grab onto in space. And did you like that joke?
No!
I love that joke! Oh my god!
The corniest shit I've ever heard.
I
love corny jokes.
Really, not you?
So Gravity, guys. No. That movie should have won Best
Douglas,
Picture.
Not you.
I don't know why I'm making Oscar grabs here.
I want to say the FP, but Fraser Park is a real place.
Oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't matter.
Not
that to me.
Not that I know. The movie that I thought Douglas was going to pick was A Prophet, when he said, like a prison.
Well, that was a prison. That wasn't
neck.
Like a prison. That was a prison.
when I think about Europe, think about the profits.
Because it has prisons. Like real Europe.
Oh, okay.
Like real Europe.
Okay, this is a wrap. I mean, we've had a good run. But nobody.
I was hoping to reach 200.
Nobody's gonna.
I was gonna make you guys. I was gonna make you guys reach 200. I'd be like, never come back. We're done.
Stop it. We are going to put this stuff.
Just drop the mic.
200.
Alright, real picks. Some of this nonsense. We all love Midnight in Paris. And as much as it pains me to like both the lead actor and the director of that movie, when you get it right, you get it right. So, Midnight in Paris. It's
and
really good.
Can you tell me what place you think of for that movie?
Winnipeg, I think.
That makes sense.
Paris,
yeah,
London?
I get that.
There's a Paris in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
It's in Pharma.
Damn it. Never going there again.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of Paris,
mm-hmm.
Another movie from last year that I really love. And by from last year, I mean from this year. And by from this year, I mean that I watched this year.
Right.
Paris, Texas.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's kind of eponymous or self-explanatory. I think of Paris, Texas when I watch that movie. This movie is so great. It's kind of akin, actually, yeah, it's very much akin to the movie that we watched for the podcast, where it's not necessarily, well, actually, there is a bit of conflict resolution going on, but there's just a laid-back feel to this movie, a very laid-back feel to this movie. And I love it to death. And just the singular sort of thought process and the sort of tunnel vision that this character has in terms of just Paris, Texas. It just puts that in my mind.
So my number three is a favorite. It's amazing. It is one of the best films ever made.
Oh, wow.
It's set in Chicago. And it's one of those movies that more than any other movie I've focused on has made me know when I watch a movie that's been shot in Chicago. And therefore, regardless of what fake town it says it's in, I'll be like, I know where that is. And I'm talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, that is a movie that just takes you around that city and almost makes you feel like you've been there. Even for someone like myself who's never been to Chicago.
Not Nicole Nora's Infinite Taste.
No?
No.
That didn't take
you around? No, that didn't take you around.
My Blueberry Valentine? No, what's the name of that shitty? My Blueberry Nights.
Blueberry Nights.
Terrible.
Didn't you like that movie for that girl?
I did like it for Nora Jones.
You did too.
But then I woke up.
That movie so
then
much.
I woke up and watched it again.
Oh my god!
Like, what in God's name is happening?
So yeah, guys, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
All right. When I think of dirt, and I think of the olden times, I think of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Really?
When I think of Texas,
I thought you were gonna go with David Spade.
When I think, stop it. When I think of Texas,
Walker Texas Ranger.
I think of Walker, Texas Ranger first, the good, the bad, and the ugly second. I just imagine it's the same place, just with newer clothes and less Clint Eastwood. But yeah, when I think Texas, only one thing of, like this and Red Dead Redemption.
Which I can't put on the list, right?
The technical term is Grand Theft Force.
Grand Theft Force.
Okay.
Please name it that the next time, guys.
Oh, that would be good. Okay, so remember how Andrew, I said, just go to town with it, and you said, you know what, I'm gonna go with space, and I said, absolutely, right?
You see, this is what I fear of. He let me go with mine, just so that I let him go with his.
Because
you've met Douglas.
Space is actually my
the
next
final
space.
Frontier.
My next
These
space.
Are
no,
voyages.
Not the final frontier. There are no
of
frontiers,
Batman.
Right?
What?
So
the new civilization will be in space.
So my movie, yep.
So there I got Damon excited. We talked about games for a second.
So my movie is all about space. Just not necessarily the space that you're thinking of.
The space between?
Yes, the space between.
That shitty.
Dave Matthews Band.
Hey, don't you say bad things about Dave Matthews Band.
There are two
Dave
types
Matthews
of,
Band are awesome. There are two types of people in this world. People who realize that Dave Matthews Band sucks.
And people
and terrible people.
Wow, okay, so yeah, the space.
I love
between,
Dave Matthews Band.
Definitely. But I was going more about more empty space.
Mm-hmm.
And my pick for empty space that makes me think of empty space is the Lars von Trierist of Dogville.
You are an idiot.
And you know, it's that movie makes a point of being different. It makes a point of kind of, what's the word, acknowledging itself and acknowledging what it's doing and saying, listen guys, there is nothing, right? There are no walls, there are no mountains, there are no caves. We're going to talk about walls, we're going to talk about mountains,
and
we're
going
to talk about caves. But there's nothing. Exactly, there's not even doors. The actors
have
to pretend to open doors.
Oh,
it's
God.
So
Andrew,
you will
out there.
You lose your mind when you watch this.
Oh my goodness.
So good.
honestly, in my mind, I don't think he can beat Breaking the Waves anymore.
Dog. Oh no, no,
dog.
No.
You don't
assuming,
like,
no, no. The first thing is you have to like it, right? No, I get anybody who hates this movie.
Andrew would
but
love this.
But if you are willing to like this movie. Oh,
this
Andrew.
Is 3 hours of what Andrew wants every movie to be.
Pretentious nonsense.
Oh, god damn it.
Yes, I want it.
But yeah, this is just so... It's like an asterisk in the list,
like,
is what this is.
What is crazy about it, like the first time I saw the movie, by the time the movie ended, even though Andrew, when we said there is no walls...
No,
like,
I understand it.
By the end of the movie... You start believing in the reality,
yeah,
that David, and you're like, no, but Damien, nothing exists. He's still messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the same thing with watching plays on stage. Every once in a while, something isn't quite real, but
yeah,
they make it real because they
know,
believe
I've
it.
I've never seen any, so I don't know. My grown man.
Anyways, my number two.
Don't watch plays.
And part of me hopes I'm stealing this from Douglas just because he does it all the while and it would make me feel better. The entire Before trilogy. Because between Paris, between Vienna, and between the Greek islands, this movie takes us upon places that we will always love and we always hope we'll get to visit sometime in our own lifetime.
I even specified which movie I had for my number one. I even said, I love all of these movies, but there is one. And
he fucked the whole shit up.
He fucked it up. Fucked it up.
Alright.
One ring to rule them all.
And one finger. One middle finger to put them on.
God damn it. The Before trilogy, Douglas. It's really good.
Stop it. My movie is also about space. No one is lost in this space.
There's no space between?
There's no space between. There is a man slowly losing his mind as he comes to grip with the fact that he's not alone in space. This movie is so Tom certified, it might as well have our faces on the box. It's Moon.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
God damn right, that movie is incredible.
Love that movie.
I made it a point to watch that movie like 10 times for the year. It's so good. I should stop watching, but it's never going to happen. And I have this crazy poster of it, and every time I see it, I smile and then start watching Moon. Custom posters. People should do that. Should do more of that. Douglas, you're number one.
Number one is Andrew's a fucking dick.
So when you think about Jamaica, you think about Andrew? Is that what you say?
Andrew cannot take this from me.
No, he cannot.
I'm going to be steadfast.
Steadfast in my resolve to pick Before
Godzilla.
Godzilla. Oh my goodness.
Godzilla is a good Japan movie.
Oh my
the original.
Sure it is.
Specifically, Before Sunrise. The first of the Before trilogies.
I've never seen it.
Vienna. Vienna is special in that movie. So much so that I actually, like, I've watched that movie a million times. And I yearn to be there. I really want to go to Vienna. I want to go to even see, like, stupid things, like, see where those places are.
Remember when I said you were a hippie?
That there's some sort of sad relationship between me and that movie and Vienna, and it's crazy. I love that movie.
So my number one,
I hope you pick a movie that I wanted to pick,
is downright one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, I've watched this movie about 5,000 times by now, and I think it as it relates to this list, it had to be number one, because I kind of did a weird thing where I've actually been to this town, and I started like making up spots of the movie where like I was, and this is Scott Pilgrim versus the World in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
It just fits.
Wait, sorry. Did you say that's one of your favorite movie of all
time? One of my favorite movies
of all time.
I like
both
that movie.
This time and the other times.
Okay.
It's one of those movies where the little things keep growing.
Yeah, that's true.
With every time I watch it, as with most Edgar Wright movies.
Yeah.
And
like Captain America shows up.
And because it was all like 90s video game nonsense, it just adds that those are the kind of stuff that I remember playing all the while. Like even the other day something told me, Andrew, why don't you play the original NES Zelda again? I want to play that again.
Because you have Hotline Miami to play.
Still haven't played that again. But I beat Braid. Braid is amazing. You're dumb.
Yep. We've established this a long time ago. Cereza, I still talk to you, idiots. I have no intention of leaving this country. It's warm here.
It's warm in lots of places.
I don't like the cold. Yeah, but I only speak Jamaican.
They speak Jamaican?
No, they do not. I can't speak English to save my life. Don't know enough Jamaican to get by in this country. There is a documentary that came out a couple years ago that I fell in love with. There's a crazy French guy that walks across shit. He walked across roofs, all sorts of nonsense. Part of the documentary was him walking across the Twin Towers and just watching the process of going through that made me go, I want to go there one day. And they're very, all of the places in the world that I want to go to fall into two categories. Football. That is it. No other reason. Damien, why do you want to go to Rome? Roma. Oh, the buildings, that's all. Well, yeah, sure. Whatever. There's a stadium that's there. That's all I want to visit.
Right.
And America doesn't play football, so I've never had any fascination with it. They have Amazon and shit, but like, I really don't want to go there. But then I saw this movie. I went, that is impressive. I can see where seeing something like this, even once, would be impressive. All the work that went into building these giant buildings. And whenever I think about New York, in fact, whenever I think about anything of architectural significance in America, I think about this movie. And so, that's why this is.
But then the Avengers blew it up.
There's that. They blew that.
Pretty sure it wasn't the Avengers that blew
it up. Superman. Superman, sorry.
I'm pretty sure every monster, every tidal wave, every alien invasion, like the
ZD3.
Insurance. Insurance in that.
Zero.
I want Douglas to take the feeling that Scott Pilgrim was better than the Before trilogy.
No, Douglas is too busy hating you for taking like, it doesn't matter what you put after it. That doesn't care. Planning to kill you as soon as I
I'm nodding fervently. Is it sad, Andrew, that the movie I wanted you to put on this list, after thinking about it,
should
after
I tell you my
here,
audibles first?
Oh no, tell me, yeah, tell me
audibles. Let me tell you what I had in my list of audibles. First of all, as a joke, I had in The Dark Knight to say Gotham City.
Right.
Gotham City.
But my real audibles included Do the Right Thing for Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Basketball.
The Hangover for Las Vegas.
Really?
I'm never going to that. I will never. Ever. If I am in Las Vegas, horrendous things have happened. Right? You guys need to call whatever authorities you can and get me out of Las Vegas. Never.
Also, Monsters for South America.
Okay.
Football.
And Lost in Translation for Japan.
Yeah, you see, you didn't go far enough. The movie I wanted you to put on your list that I know you've seen, I've seen some of, and feel like I'm going to love this movie, is, again, going with my crazy ass picks, Symbol.
Yeah, but yeah.
No, that's fine. That's fine. They didn't do. I'm just saying.
That, like, as he relates to that place, I'm like, I don't want to be there. I'm going to be trapped in a room of baby pieces.
I wanted to say Korea, and then none of those movies made me want to go
Act
there.
Of Killing.
Even Fast.
Act of Killing. Babies.
Never.
That was fun. But well, I had one audible, and that was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and it was really for two reasons. One, I always think of Montauk, because they talk about Montauk so much, you know. Montauk was kind of like their place. And
where is that?
It's in New York.
Okay.
It's upstate New York. And okay. it's where Jim Carrey and Kate... what's her name?
No, yeah, I remember the train platform stuff and
there's a beach as well, and it's a place that they used to go just on a regular day in their relationship. And then, you know, when they forget each other, she takes Elijah Wood to Montauk, because again, it's like, that's a place, that's just a significant place for them. But also, I think about it because it's all in his mind, and that's yet another place that
go in Jim Carrey's mind?
I don't know if I do. There was probably a time when I did, but now I'm just kind of like, depends on which Jim Carrey.
Okay. You have any audibles, Damien? Nope.
Just
all right.
Like, lucky in for
what? France?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or football?
Yeah, but yeah. Honestly, if I'm going over, I want to spend 10 seconds looking at the city, march into a football stadium, and sit there. I'm a sad man, and I know.
Well, I guess that's the end. I guess it.
Japan is Formula One. That's why not.
As always, you can hear the podcast over at gmanreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. Douglas, he's on Twitter at DJR lost his name, losing his mind because Chelsea won. Damien, he's on Twitter at Damien_White.
2004 for life.
Reminding us that 2004 is actually for life.
Killers is with me.
And I'm at GMRNReviews, where I constantly think dumb things about football because I start to believe that Man United is good again. And it was Moyes' fault, or it wasn't. I don't know, but I keep tweeting about it.
Just tell us about Manchester.
Thanks so much for listening, and good night. No running around! I can't stand! No, put me down. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Oh, yeah.